Today I'll be reading from the book of Matthew and Luke, first from Matthew chapter 1 verse 1, and then Luke chapter 3 verse 38. So if you want to turn to that, then I'll give you some time. And I'll be reading from the New International Version. So, Matthew chapter 1 verse 1. This is a record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. That's it. Short chapters, short verses. And then Luke 3, verse 38. The son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. Again, that's it. And God always blesses. Sorry. God always blesses the public reading of his inspired and infallible word.
I just want to take a few moments to talk to you on this wonderful day when we are celebrating all of our generations and all of their participation in our life together about what you've just heard. But before I do that, I don't think all the children's workers and youth workers are upstairs because they're in various buildings and rooms looking after our children and young people. But these guys do the most phenomenal job, and I am so grateful for them. So shall we give them a massive round of applause? We're so grateful. They're amazing, amazing, an amazing team, full of energy and life. And only three of them are actually employed. Everybody else is a volunteer. Our ministry here at KT is run entirely by volunteers. It is amazing to see how hard they work. And we are so grateful to all of you for your volunteering. And if you're not already involved, why not in 2026 make a decision that you're going to get involved in the house and serve the Lord in some way? You'd be most welcome. We'll find a spot for you. Four different sonships mentioned. Did you hear them? Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. Jesus, the son of David, the son of Abraham. You read it, Nathan. And then Luke chapter 3, verse 37, right toward the end of that genealogy, as Jesus' descent is explained, we read, son of Adam, son of God. Those short verses contain so much information for us this festive season as we approach Christmas. Son of David, son of Abraham, son of Adam, son of God. Four simple phrases. Matthew starts in one direction and goes from the beginning to Jesus' birth. Luke starts with Jesus and works backwards to Adam. They both have different reasons for writing the way they do. They both have different explanations. I'm only going to take about 5 or 6 minutes of your time to explain these four sonships and how they contain for us the message of the Christ child born at Christmas. So that we remember at Christmas. He wasn't born at Christmas. Born as we remember at Christmas. So if you're joining us online or you're joining us somewhere else in the building, you are so welcome. Son of David. He is the king. David was the king of Israel, and God had promised that through David's line would come the Messiah, the Savior, the one who would rescue. And if you trace the line, you can read all the way from David to Jesus. Matthew's gospel sets it out in three sets of 14 generations. The reason he does that, by the way, is because the prophet called Daniel talked of 42 weeks and then a seven weeks at the end of time. 3 times 14 is 42. Matthew is deliberately placing Jesus as the fulfillment of the prophecy that Daniel gave. 3 sets of 14 brings you to the final season of human history, which began with the birth of Jesus, who is the son of David. He is the king that Israel longed for. He is the king that we long for. He is the one that rules with compassion and mercy and with grace and with truth. He's the one that can set us free. He is the one that sits on a throne. And brothers and sisters, he will never be taken off that throne. Nobody is ever going to take his job. He's never going to abdicate. He's never going to be replaced. He is the King of kings and he is the Lord of lords because he is the son of David. Amen? Amen. He is also the son of Abraham. A promise given to a man born around 2200 BC. that from his line, the nations of the earth would be blessed. And from Abraham come the Jewish people. And from the Jewish people come the tribe of Judah. And from the tribe of Judah comes the line of David. And from the line of David comes the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not only the fulfillment of Israel's longing. The Bible talks about him as Israel's consolation. An old man called Simeon, when Jesus was carried into the temple, you can read about it in the Gospel of Luke, picks up Jesus and he looks up to heaven 8 days after Jesus' birth. And he says, "Now, Lord, let your servant depart in peace, for I have seen the salvation or the consolation of Israel." Jesus fulfills all of the promises made to Abraham. But Jesus also fulfills all of the requirements placed on Abraham. He is our sacrifice. He is our faithful witness. He is our redeemer. He is our savior. He is the one that obeyed the law for you because he knew you and I couldn't do it. He is the one that offered himself as the lamb, just as Abraham was asked to offer his son and God intervened at the last moment. He is the one that died in our place. He's the one that is our high priest. He fulfills all the requirements of the law. He is Abraham and he is Israel. He embodies everything that is required for your salvation. We remember at this time of year that there's not a single promise that can't be fulfilled through Jesus Christ. There's not a single obligation that is not met in Jesus Christ. There's not a single requirement that was not met in Jesus Christ because he is the son of Abraham. All of our hopes and longings are met in him. All of our brokenness is healed in him. All of our shame, you can get excited, is lifted in him. All of our guilt is removed in him. All of our sin is broken in him. All of our separation is covered in him. We are one with God because he is the son of Abraham. Amen? Amen? And then we turn to Luke's gospel. And Luke starts with Jesus and works his way back. He gives a truncated or a precede version of the history of Jesus. And you get to Luke chapter 3, verse 37. And the verses are amazing. Amazing as he goes through Enosh and Seth. And then he says this. Luke writes, "A son of Seth, son of Adam, son of God." He is the son of Adam, made famous in C.S. Lewis's Narnia Chronicles. We read that Jesus is human. He is the son of Adam. He has carried your flesh. He understands your and my temptations. He understands what it is to be limited by time and space. He understands temptation. He understands the attack of the enemy. He understands loss in his family. He understands what it is to see people around him struggling. He understands life because he's a son of Adam. Many religions will point to a God who comes amongst us, but they come as a phantom. They come as a shadow. They come as an image. They come as an idea. They come pretending to be human. They come in the shape of human, but not human. But Jesus was the son of Adam. Fully human. He walked where you and I walk. He felt what you and I feel. He experienced what you and I experience. The message of the Christmas season is the incarnation. And the incarnation is not simply that God came, but that God came and lived amongst us. In the words of John in his prologue, "The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we have beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father." In the words, the same verse paraphrased by the Message puts it this way, "And God became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood." The son of Adam. There is nothing that you face this year that you need to face alone. If you will trust in God who sent his son, the son of David, the son of Abraham, the son of Adam, you can know comfort. You can know hope. You can know strength. You can know peace. But because he was the son of Adam, he bore the sins of Adam. He felt the pain of the consequence of Adam's disobedience. As he died on the cross, he died as the son of Adam. His blood was real blood. That blood that flowed from his head, that flowed from his hands and from his legs or from his ankles was real blood. Those whip marks on his back were real whip marks. They weren't pretend. And they were endured for you and for me. He carried everything that he needed to carry so that we would need to carry it no longer. Hallelujah. He bore our guilt and shame so that we did not need to bear it any longer. Hallelujah. He is the son of Adam, son of David, son of Abraham, son of Adam, son of God. Sisters and brothers, ladies and gentlemen, not all of you are followers of Jesus. But if you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus, because he is the Son of God. You want to know what God does with broken people? Look at Jesus as he kneels with broken people. You want to know what God does with those that have made a mess of their lives? Look at what Jesus does as he picks them up and gives them a fresh start. You want to know what God does with religious people who think they can do everything and they don't need God? Look at Jesus as he says in Matthew 23, 7 times to the religious leaders, "Woe to you." The Son of God reveals to us God's heart, reveals to us God's compassion, reveals to us God's consistency, God's goodness, God's steadfastness, God's mercy. The day I met Jesus in 1986 was the day I needed to stop guessing what God was like. Because now I can see him. I see him in every act. I hear him in every word. I experience him in every reaction and response that Jesus gives across the four Gospels. I am not free to make up a Jesus that fits your cultural idea. I'm not free to make Jesus fit into London life. I'm not free to make Jesus less than he is. He is the Son of God. He carries holiness and purity and power. And you see, all four are required. What good is a Savior who does not know what it means to suffer or to face persecution or challenge? He is the Son of Adam. But what good is a Savior who knows what it is to face persecution but doesn't have the power to overcome? He is the Son of God. What good is a Savior who knows that our sin needs paid for but doesn't know how to do it? He is the Son of Abraham. What good is that Savior if he's not supreme King and Lord? He has to be Son of David, Son of Abraham, Son of Adam, and Son of God, and he is all four. So tonight, today, wherever you are, whatever you face, whatever you are going through, I bring you good tidings of great joy. 2,030 years ago or so, in the town of Bethlehem, a Savior was born. And his name is Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And they shall call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God has come to us. The Son of God has come to us. God has redeemed us. The Son of Man has rescued us. God has lifted our guilt. The Son of Abraham has paid the penalty of our sin. And the ruling, reigning, all-powerful King is here. The King is in the room. He is not somewhere else. God has come near in Jesus Christ. He is here to deliver you. He is here to forgive you. He is here to wipe away your regrets of 2025 and give you hope for 2026. The Son of God, the Son of Man, the Son of Abraham, the Son of David stands here in this church building and offers people around the world and in this building hope, forgiveness, grace, mercy, and a future if you will accept it. Many of us will give gifts. I have got all my gifts for my wife. Pat me on the back. I haven't wrapped them all, but I've got them all. They're hidden in various places around my house. They will be wrapped for her, ready for Christmas Day. But the greatest gift that she has ever been given is not me. The greatest gift she has ever been given was the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. And the greatest gift that I have ever been given is not my wife, it's not my children, and it's not my grandchildren. Some of you think that's your greatest gift. It's not. It's not. The greatest gift that you could ever receive is the gift of God's own Son. And he wasn't wrapped in a bow. He was wrapped in blood. He wasn't surrounded by paper. He was surrounded by linen garments. He wasn't placed in a golden box. He was placed in a stone-cold tomb. But he didn't stay there. because the son of David and the son of Abraham and the son of Adam and the son of God, 3 days later, after he was crucified, broke out of the box, undid the wrapping, and walked back into life. And therefore, death has no fear over us because he has defeated death by dying. This son is alive. It isn't that he was the son. He is the son. He is the son of David. He is the son of Abraham. He is the son of Adam. And he is the son of God. Because at Christmas, we remember not only the incarnation, we remember the crucifixion, we remember the burial, we remember the resurrection, we remember the ascension, we remember the reign and rule of Jesus, we remember the power of the Holy Spirit, and we remember that this living, breathing son of Abraham, son of David, son of Adam, and son of God will return for his bride, and we will be with him forever. What a gift! What a gift! And you are invited. Why do we put up Christmas trees and lights and all of this stuff? Because we want to celebrate this son. We want to offer this life to you. We want you to know wherever you are, whoever you are, wherever you're from, whatever country of origin is yours, whatever your story might be, there's a place at the table for you. Because the son of David and the son of Abraham and the son of Adam and the son of God walks amongst us here today, offering the gift of life to all who will receive it.